1840, Millerite movement. A lot of people were very excited about the fact that they were studying the book of Daniel, and they realized that, you know, with what Matthew was saying, that Jesus Christ was coming soon. And they were very excited, and they started doing a lot of the studies. And then they came to the passage where they started reading about the sanctuary being cleansed. And then they even got even more excited because William Miller started calculating, and they got it down to a day where Jesus Christ was going to come. See, they had the date right, but they had the event wrong. And a lot of people, thousands of people, got really excited about Jesus Christ coming. October 22nd. By the way, let me clarify two things the way I view them. The great disappointment, number one, was not... A lot of people, when they talk about the disappointment, they talk to us as Adventists and say, you Adventists had a great disappointment. Well, no. Remember, the Adventist church came out of the great disappointment. Technically, when they say you Adventists, they mean us as a denomination today. Adventists in the general sense that there are people waiting for Jesus Christ in 1844, well, yes. But Adventists as a denomination, no. There were the Millerites. It was groups, Baptists, Methodists, but people from all over waiting for Jesus Christ. Number one. Number two, October 22nd, 1844, was not the great disappointment. The way I view it is October 22nd was the great waiting period. October 23rd, 1844, was the great disappointment. Does that make sense? Because they waited and waited. It went 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. They were still waiting. 12 o'clock, 12:01, ding, 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 October 23rd. How terrible that would be. Some people gave their businesses away. Some people closed business. Some people, I mean, it was a terrible thing. Last year, I heard about May 21st, and I started following about this May 21st, and it went January, didn't hear much, February, didn't hear much, March, not much, April, you started hearing a little bit more, and as the days to May 21st started coming, you heard more and more about this. This was a billboard here on Highway 99, and there's one also on Main Street. Judgment Day, May 21st, the Bible guarantees it. Anybody know what day is today? My brother-in-law were talking yesterday, and he was asking me about this, and we were talking, and he had heard on the radio 80% of the staff, because they asked him, about 80% of the staff are... Are you going to go back to work on Monday? Oh, yeah, we'll be there. 80%. And yet, there have been pouring millions of dollars into this advertising. Heard of a gentleman that pulled out all his life savings, $140,000, and just put it in advertising. Some have closed their businesses, and right now, as we are sitting here worshiping the Lord, there are people in their homes waiting. Supposedly, everything was going to start happening at 6 o'clock p.m. at their respective time. So the first country, I guess, Australia, New Zealand, that area, 6 o'clock, all those areas were going to be having major, major earthquakes. So 6 o'clock has gone by and nothing has happened. 6 o'clock is coming our way. 6 o'clock would be in New York, and then it'll come to us. And the people are in their homes. They were instructed not to go out publicly, to remain home praying and studying the Bible and getting things right with God. A few things that sort of bother me about this. Number one, you got to understand that this is a Christian denomination. And so as a Christian denomination, the world sees them, and when they see them, they see us, because they lump everybody together as what? Christians. Which then it's going to make it a little bit harder for us to be credible when you present the gospel, when you present what we have been asked to present to the world. I do have to commend them, because when you believe in something, you go for it, right? When you really believe in something, you put everything into that. And the question I would ask is, as Seventh-day Adventists, do we believe? Do we believe to the point where we put everything into what we believe? Because I've heard it. I've heard different ideas. Some are sort of in the fence. Not here, not here. They're in the fence. Why are you in the fence? Why are you standing on the fence? Well, I'm just waiting to see which way it goes. And when I see things going either way, I'm going to jump on the right side of things. But for now, I'm neither here nor there. People are saying there are going to be major earthquakes. The Bible says this: let not your heart be troubled. And it's the promise that Jesus gave us. I will come again. So do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Amen. Amen. Now, I was debating whether I should present the sermon on how Jesus will come or when will Jesus come. And I decided to go with when will Jesus come. So I will this morning tell you when Jesus will come. And this is one text, basically. No one knows. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Here, let me tell you something. Because I've heard, and this is what I believe. Some people say, well, only the Father knows. They say that Jesus does not know. At least that's the thinking. When Jesus said these words, I could agree with you that he did not know. Because he was speaking as a human. When he resurrected in that glorious body and he ascended to heaven, Jesus knows. Why? Well, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus God? Does God know everything? God the Father, the Holy Spirit, three in one, they all know. No one knows. Not even the angels. What a sight that's going to be when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit stand in front of the billion of angels. And let me tell you something. When the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit stand in front of the angels, there is silence in heaven. And the announcement, it's time to go get my children. That will bring excitement to the angels like you've never seen before. And so Jesus was looking over the Mount of Olives, and he was looking over the city of Jerusalem, that great, wonderful temple that was there. And he was looking specifically at the temple of Jerusalem. And he was sitting there with his disciples. And this is what he said. He said, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Wow. You know, for the disciples, that meant that something so destructive was going to happen that they wanted to know what was going to take place. Jesus went on to describe how the Romans were going to come in and destroy the city. The armies would attack Jerusalem and destroy it. And by the way, the armies surrounded Jerusalem and they were going to do a siege. You know how they did battle back then. And for some unexpected reason, they pulled back. Took off. The Christians in Jerusalem took that as a sign from God. And they took off. And it was a good thing because the armies then came back. And they destroyed Jerusalem. I believe that God will not leave us alone. He said he will never leave us alone. He will always direct us. And when it's time to go, he will let us know. And so Jesus is describing how the Roman armies would come in, and all this happened in 70 AD. Jerusalem was destroyed. That event was a real event. And as the disciples heard this, they're really astonished at what Jesus was saying. They asked them this, Tell us when these things are going to be. When are they going to happen? And what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age? And then Jesus Christ went on to describe some of the signs of his return. In other words, we do not know the day, the hour, or the year. But we do have signs of the return of Jesus Christ. And some of you have been seeing those signs. Matthew 24, 5, 11, 24 says that one of the signs is that false Christs and false prophets, you're going to start seeing them more and more. Now, was May 21st a prediction? Yes. May 21st was a prediction. Who predicts? Prophets. May we say then with all, I'm not trying to, be mean or anything, but I believe this person that was proclaiming this then would be categorized as a false prophet. False Christs. There was something else that's going to be happening. Interest in this whole psychic phenomena. A lot of things on TV happening about, being able to talk to the dead. There are people that do not go out of the house without first checking the astrology, those columns. They don't go out of the house without checking that. And if in there it says, whatever, if you are Sagittarius or Aries, whatever you might be, and for you, according to that, I'm a Sagittarius. And if I'm reading there, it says, don't go out, you're going to get into an accident, you're going to break one leg. So they don't go out. Why? Because they just read what's going to happen to them. And they don't go out. There are about 3,000 columns, even more by now. Astrology here in the United States. Predictions. There are about 250 specific predictions. 3% have more or less reasonably come true. That means that 6 of them more or less came true. I mean, there were some points that you could kind of say, oh, yeah, really, there were some points of it that came true. But 244 of them would miss the mark. In Hollywood, there's this Lazarus. Everybody wants to talk to Lazarus. Lazarus is, according to the question that's asked, who is Lazarus? Lazarus is a non-physical entity who first began channeling through Jack Purcell in October 3rd, 1974. It says he is a spark of light, a spark of love, who has helped tens of thousands of people expand personally. Lazarus. Now, it's interesting, Lazarus charges $93 an hour. And if you call in, it's only $53 an hour. Now remember, Lazarus is a non-physical entity. Basically, they don't like to say it, but I'll say it. It's a satanic demon. And people are calling in to find out the future. Sign number 2, international conflict. This is what the Bible says. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Has that been happening? Has it been increasing? Will it continue to increase? Yes. It will continue. Deaths. World War I, 20 million, 2, 50 million. And just all the wars that you, maybe even some of you were in those wars. Korea and Vietnam, Iran, Bosnia, those tribal wars, Libya, Operation Desert Storm, you name it, they're happening. You thought the 20th century was bloodiest. How about the 21st? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And Jesus said there in Luke, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring. Have you ever been out in the sea when the waves are roaring? It's a scary thing. I've sometimes seen that deadliest catch thing. Those guys are either crazy or on drugs. And that's how the world is going to be before Jesus Christ comes back. The waves, the people, everything, distress. Third sign is the potential for world destruction. We do have that potential. As a matter of fact, someone said that we have enough arsenal right now between all the countries to destroy the world about 7 times. But I don't only think it'll only take once. But we have the potential of destroying the world 7 times. I mean, the technology that's out there. My wife sometimes, talk about this, because, in the last days, in the end days, when you are going to be persecuted, where would you go that you cannot be found? Unless God hides us. I mean, technology is amazing. I was like, wow. I kept saying, that's kind of unbelievable when I found out that a satellite could focus on a golf ball from way up there. That's amazing. Then they have all these sensors. You could be pitch dark. You're hiding out there. They put that sensor. Oh, yeah, there's one over there. There's two over there. Three over there. Okay. Pitch dark. You know what's more amazing? That those are the things they want you to know. Those are the things that they want us to know, and they put it out in the public, because the real secret things, they're not going to tell you. Charles Snow wrote this: "We know with certainty of statistical truth that if enough of these weapons are made by enough states, some of them are going to blow up or through accident, folly, or madness." What is this saying? Well, if some crazy guy out there, mad, starts pushing buttons, it's real easy. Sign number 4, peace agreements. We've been trying to be having peace for how many years? I read in the Bible, and it says in the beginning, and then even since the beginning, there was no peace already. How do I know? Well, let's see. There was war in the place where war should never happen. I'm just telling you, that's what it says. There was war in heaven. And then ever since then, there's wars in the home. Cain whacked Abel. And it just kept going from there. Peace. Peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, and they shall not escape." Peace is very shaky. Middle East, Northern Ireland, Yugoslavia, Rwanda, and then we go on and on and on. Libya right now. Sign number 5 is famines. And there will be famines, it says, pestilence and earthquakes in various places. You know that we have enough land here in the United States if it was all work to feed the world? And if people stopped spending in armament and use it for feeding the world, we could do it. The entire world right now is trying to make it from one harvest to the other. And it's hard. It's hard. 57 million people die each year. That's about 156,000 people a day. You and I are here this morning, praise the Lord. Yesterday, 156,000 people died because they did not have food to eat. And that includes children and adults and seniors. It's everybody. Of the 7 billion, almost 8 now, billion people are malnourished. 20% are starving. And not only here, out there, here too. Pestilences, sign number 6. The Bible says, and there will be famines and pestilences. You know, the original word for pestilence means diseases. And a lot of those things are going on as far as diseases are happening. AIDS, we just recently had, H1 virus, is that? All those. So there's a lot of those things are going to be happening on the earth. And you know what? There'll be some. I'll guarantee this. There will be some that we won't even know what they are. Pollution is another one. Isaiah 51:6, the earth will grow old like a garment. With the early teens. Is it early teens? Yeah, early teens. That's what we're talking about. The earth is getting tired. You know how your body feels when you're tired? Well, I know how it feels when I'm tired. Since you don't want to answer, I know how it feels when my body gets tired. It's just, you know, how could a young man of 48 years go home and I feel like, oh. Like getting WD-40 and spraying my knee. The earth is getting tired. And some of the things that we're doing aren't helping any. U.S. News, the rape of the oceans. I had a class at Andrews. One of the professors was telling us about this whole conflict and the things about what people are doing. They go out fishing, and they're fishing, first of all, for unclean fish. They get the sharks. They cut the fin. And they throw the rest of the shark out. Because people want to eat the meat of the fin. There's something that they think has extra energy in the fin. So they catch the shark, chop the fin off, throw the shark away, and take their price. It's happening. Those of us that lived in L.A., do you see it? I remember when we had warning that said, do not exercise during heavy smog conditions. You know, for a child growing up, I liked it. There was no school when that happened. They closed all the schools. Pollution on the earth. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with hazardous waste? Where do you get rid of it? You bury it. You see every dot there? That's places where they have buried toxic waste. The government has. Hazardous. Things that will kill us. Let's see, Oregon. I guess I left that a secret. Here's another sign that it's happening. Earthquakes. Earthquakes. I just pulled out the latest earthquakes in the world. As of today, May 21st, so far, there have been, just today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 22 earthquakes today. And if I went and pulled out also the earthquakes that happened here in the United States, it's a really long list, just today. And some of these are 5.9, 5.1, 4.6, 4.8, 4.6, 4.9, 5.2. They're happening. The Bible says, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. About 6,000 major earthquakes happen around the world, and they're increasing even more and more and more. Can't really tell that much, but this is a big ship in the middle of homes here. There are homes and destruction all over. This is what happened in Japan just a while ago. How does a humongous ship of that size end up in the middle of neighborhoods? Things are happening right before our eyes. Homes are not supposed to do that. That happened in Japan. And I didn't have time to get a video on this, but I don't know if some of you have seen the video of that water coming in. Trucks. Huge 18-wheelers. It's just like playing with toys. And that big concrete kind of levee that they built, huge. That water came in and just says building blocks. Earthquakes. Deaths from earthquakes. About 1.5 million and still growing. One another sign, the Bible says that the nature is going to be also in upheaval. Earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. When earthquakes hit, nature, we're talking about volcanoes exploding. We're talking about tsunamis. We're talking about all kinds of things. And by the way, if you read the Great Controversy, Satan has been, he can control some of these. I am glad for the four angels that are holding things on the corners, because if Satan was given free rein, full power, it would be bad. Tenth sign, moral decay. Noah was called to do something that it was crazy. To build a boat in the middle of the desert when it had never rained before. He started building this. God was going to destroy the world. Why? Well, it says, but in the days of Noah, also the coming of the Son of Man be. He was going to destroy the world because God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The what of men? Wickedness. Do you think there's a lot of wickedness in the earth today? The wickedness that you know of is just the scratch of the surface. I've spoken with people, they come, Pastor, did you know? And then I tell them, did you know? And they're like, oh, and that's happening in the world? Yeah. It was such wickedness that God decided to destroy. When I was growing up, I had an idea of the flood. And my idea of the flood was drip, 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 drip. Rain came down and the water started rising slowly and it lifted up that boat and it was so ever gentle going up. I mean, that was my idea of the flood. Then I read early writings where it says, it gives a description of what was happening in the flood, and then it says this. It says, Satan himself feared for his life. In other words, Satan was here on this earth, the flood was happening, earthquake, major earthquakes, water coming out, water coming down, volcanic eruptions, all kinds of things happening. And Satan said, I am a goner. This is it. And so destruction came. And then the Bible says this, but as the days of Noah were also with the coming of the sand of the man be, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, nothing about marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And he entered the ark and did not know until the flood came that the people and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. There'll be things that are happening that the world would not know. And all of a sudden, it's here. It's like a thief came, took your possessions, and you didn't know. That's how the coming, second coming of Christ is going to be. But here's the thing, for some, you and I should not be in the dark. You and I have instruction. You and I have the Word of God. You and I have, we have the Spirit of prophecy. We have ways of knowing the signs. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I like being married. It's a plan that was God given. God instituted marriage. But unfortunately, for everything that God did, Satan has a counterfeit, doesn't he? And whatever God did, Satan wants to come in to that too, and he has. One out of every two marriages ends in divorce. One out of every four families with children under 18, they're single parents. What else is happening? This whole moral decay, birth rate for teens keeps climbing. Well, you know about this. It's amazing. We need to be careful. Parents, you need to be careful with your children, with your computers and things. I told my wife, you mean we need to be careful. We were doing a report for my son. We were helping him do a report for Gideon. And so I type in Gideon. And I said, I show my wife, look at, just in this search for Gideon, Bible Gideon, look what comes up. The world, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts? Because if he did not, this would be us. Every intent, everything that we would think would be evil. A good person that is unchurched, a good person that does not go to church, that does not believe, may sort of believes in God, but really doesn't follow up on that, that person is not good just because they're good. They're good because the Holy Spirit is working in their heart. Here's an 11th sign, rising crime. In the days of Noah, like in the days of Noah, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. Kids who kill. April 19, 2011, maybe some of you heard this. It just happened this April. A boy went to school. It was lunchtime. He sat down. The gun he had in his pocket fell. When it fell, it went off. It grazed him. It hit somebody else in the foot. Three kids were wounded. There in lunchtime. Now you might be saying, well, that it happens. Yeah, it happens. But this was a six-year-old in kindergarten. A six-year-old. Now we're going to have to start placing metal detectors in kindergarten schools. First, when we were growing up, we didn't shoot at each other. And I'm sure some of you that are a little bit mature than I am know about this. I mean, things were settled differently. Now kids have guns. And you know what's not helping? Let me tell you what's not helping. The fact that kids now could sit in front of a big screen TV and shoot everybody that they have a problem with. And I'm not talking shooting like, you know, in the old Western movies where they shot at each other and there was no blood coming out and nothing. They just, and you didn't see anything. Some of those violent shooting games, I mean, you see everything. $33 million violent crimes are committed in America each year, violent ones. Every 100 hours more youth die in the streets than were killed in the Persian Gulf. Here's another sign. Skepticism. Matthew 24 says, and they did not know until the flood came. Second Peter, scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You and I know what the non-churched, the world is going to be saying tomorrow. They're just going to be laughing their heads off at the Christians. Scoffers. I was reading about this May 21st. The atheists are holding Judgment Day parties. The end of the world party. People, see, I believe Satan's doing a lot of this because he knows that if a lot of these things continue to happen, false prophets, Christ is coming, this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, how is that confidence for those that really don't believe? And then you show up and knock on the door and say, hi, I'd like to share a message with you. Sign 13, lovers of pleasure. 28% of the alcoholics are under 18. Cocaine, rising. I think it's even more now. Mass media, glorified sex and immorality. It was interesting, I was reading a little devotional titled Maranatha, and it was sometime this last week. And Sister White is saying there, in her days in the, 1800s, she was saying how depraved the society was in her days because they were showing, the women were walking around showing more skin than they should. I remember back then, the more skin is like the... I don't know what Sister White would think if you're driving by some of the billboards now. You get bombarded from everywhere. I don't remember my wife and I were looking at something. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, you want to sell something? Whatever it is, you put a lady in a bikini and it sells. Mass media. Sign number 14, economic uncertainty. Some of you are feeling that. All of us are feeling it. The churches are feeling this. And you know what? It only is going to get worse. I'm sorry. That's why we need to put our trust not on your savings account, not on your 401, not on your IRA, whatever you might have. We need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Now listen, it says, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and months have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Who are the ones that are going to be more grateful when we get to heaven? Let me tell you what I think. The ones that are going to be grateful, more grateful, are those of us that realize that we probably should not have been there to begin with. By the grace of God, we are there. In other words, if you have been forgiven, have been forgiven a lot, you will be more thankful. Now, in regards to this, who do you think is going to be wailing and crying and having a harder time? Those that have a lot more and that they depend on their wealth. It's good. If the Lord has blessed you monetarily, financially, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think if the Lord has blessed you with financial gain, He has a special purpose for you. But when it comes time, all that is going to go away. And if you are relying on it, it's going to be hard. Here's the last thing. And I like this one. Because before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the gospel is going to go to the whole world. Here's what the Bible says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And then in Revelation it says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying this. And saying this with a loud voice, it says, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of waters. In other words, worship Him who is the Creator. Worship your Creator. Throughout the world, it's happening. Thousands and thousands of people are giving their life to Jesus Christ. Thousands of them. And yet here in America, it hasn't clicked yet. You know, we see evidences. Praise the Lord, Kathy, and got baptized, and Judah and James, all kids, and Ernie. They got baptized. Praise the Lord. But we have not seen 1,000, 2,000. But you know what I've seen here in America? You know what happens? When there's distress, when there's a national emergency, when something bad happens, people run to God. Now my question is, don't you think it'd be better to run to God before that happens? I think so too. I think so too. Here's another thing that's very important. You and I have an opportunity to help with the preaching of the gospel to every tongue, to every nation. We have that privilege. Now, some people might say, Pastor, that's impossible. Because as you're preaching right now, there's so many babies being born. There's a lot of them all around the world. How are we to get the message to the whole world? My answer to that, don't worry about it. That's God's problem. It's God's work. We're part of His work, and He will figure it out. Even if the stones have to preach instead of us, He will do it. But the fact is that Jesus Christ is coming. And He is coming soon. Very soon. And like the hymn we're going to sing, number 207, I'd like for you to start opening your hymnals right now. Number 207. You know what? It may be in the morning. It may be at noon. It may be in the evening. The fact is that Jesus Christ is coming soon. He has given us signs that we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at all these signs. I want you to do something for me, okay? Everybody, do something for me. Everybody, turn to your right and look out the window there. You see the peach orchard there about 4 months ago. All that was what? It was bare. It was barren. It was all just sticks. And today you look out there and it looks nice and green and it's lush. You know, and sometime in January they had their pruning done. I saw them. All the ladders, they were pruning them. Right now, they're doing something else to them. And I don't know what it is. Maybe some of you know what it is. But I was going to stop and ask the workers, what are you doing? Because I wanted to, because they're doing something. They already pruned, but now they're doing something else. But see, we know that in a few months there's going to be what? Why? Because of the signs. The signs are there. And we have signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Lead us out in this song, 207, It May Be a Morn.
Let's stand.
It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, here we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia. Blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of His glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, here we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread and no crying. Caught up in the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, here we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And the question here, the question, how long? How long until we shout, Christ returneth, hallelujah, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this afternoon for, first of all, reassuring us that you are coming, that you have prepared a place for us where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more dying, no more tears. Thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the instruction that we receive. Father, I pray. I pray that your Holy Spirit may continue to open our eyes to see what's happening around us, to the signs that are happening that tells us that you are coming soon. Father, this afternoon I want to pray for our brother.